Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you are new and exploring the Beloved City Church family for the first time today, welcome. Or maybe you are new to exploring faith and the big questions about life and spirituality, we welcome you here online with us. We truly believe at Beloved City Church that you can belong before you believe. So thank you for being with us. We're truly glad that you're here with us today. We just had 2 weeks of studying the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Holy Spirit in this micro series. We're third weekend today. And among other things though, the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to those who are followers of Jesus. Spiritual gifts are mentioned for the first time in Scripture. And we're talking about Scripture, the Bible, this collection of books, this library of books we call the Bible. In Romans chapter 1, it's a letter written to the church in Rome by Paul. Chapter 1, verses 11, Paul is saying, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. See, spiritual gifts are not meant to be something weird or freaky, right? In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, another letter he wrote to the church in Corinth, he said, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And in the book of Acts of the Apostles, when the Holy Spirit came in power at Pentecost, enabling believers to do supernatural works in a very natural world that you and I both live in. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 says that God did extraordinary miracles, a spiritual gift through Paul. So it reads like this, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had been touched by him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. Miraculous, right? Crazy. It's awesome. When Paul arrived in Ephesus, which is the modern day area of Turkey that we know today, he found some believers that were not filled with the Holy Spirit, or like we learned last week, baptizoed or pickled and overwhelmed, transformed with the Spirit. And he says this in Acts 19 verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, both of which are spiritual gifts. You might remember Peter, another guy in the Scripture, the guy who couldn't get anything right walking with Jesus. And he even denied Jesus 3 times before his crucifixion. Before Jesus' crucifixion, I should clarify. The Holy Spirit gave him, though, the gift of evangelism so that he could share the message of Christ boldly. Acts 2 and 41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that, their number that day. This is Peter. He's preaching, and people are filled with the Holy Spirit, were baptized. Thousands were added to the church that day. The gift of evangelism. Evangel simply means good news. And where we get the word gospel, when Peter encountered a dead woman one time, the Bible says, turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up and he took her by the hand. He held her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known, of course, all over Joppa, the place where they were located. And the Bible says, and many people believed in the Lord. They were witnessing signs and wonders and miracles. Spiritual gifts were enacted and engaged in the earth. So, and if you're a believer in Christ today, the Holy Spirit is meant to equip you with spiritual gifts so that you can minister to believers and unbelievers. Why? To make a tangible and real difference in our world today, all over the world. So if you have your notebooks today and your Bibles with them, let's open them up to 1 Corinthians. We're going to get there for a few moments today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today, I would like to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and how Holy Spirit enables and empowers believers with spiritual gifts. Although my natural mind doesn't really understand everything about spiritual gifts, I'm just going to be honest, right? And how the Holy Spirit works supernaturally in this very natural world. Yet I do and have come to understand through the revelation of Jesus, which is given to us in Scripture, that spiritual gifts are given to the church, which is you and I, in the church, at the church, wherever we, for the building up of the body of Christ. So to build us up, to equip, to encourage, to strengthen in ways that we naturally could never do. So let alone understand, right? So today, I want to talk to you and unpack this very specifically about spiritual gifts and how they will apply and can apply in your life to make a very real and tangible difference in our world, wherever you are, wherever you're planted. So let's kick off this exploration with a working definition of spiritual gifts. And then we will look at Scripture for application. How do we apply this, right? So firstly, what is a spiritual gift, you might say? And if you're taking notes, a spiritual gift is simply a supernatural ability, so something that's beyond your own ability, given to all Christians what to do God's work in the earth. Not just my work, but God's work. It's an ability given by God to all of God's people to make a very real and tangible difference. It's why we're here, right? Firstly, if you read scripture, it's first in the church is where he wants to make a difference and then overflow into the world around us. Many Jesus followers today think it's the opposite and only use their gifts outside of the church and then give their leftovers to the church. But that's frankly, friends, that is out of order, out of sync. Christ died for his church, gave gifts to the church. It's his plan A in the earth today. His bride, he loves us so much. It's his big plan, right? It's a big deal to have our loves ordered. Back to your Bible. So to 1 Corinthians 12, we will start in verse 1 and then look at verses 4 to 6 to build a foundational understanding of spiritual gifts. So in verse 1, the Bible and scripture says this. Now, about spiritual gifts, he's saying, Paul says, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. So, but yet according to what we know, to one study anyways, in Barna, I think it is, says 87% of Christians don't actually know anything about their spiritual gifts. But what does so what is Paul saying? He says, first of all, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. So, and yet almost 9 in 10 Christians, even today, don't really know anything about their gifts, let alone spiritual gifts at all. We're ignorant of spiritual gifts sometimes. So to give you an example, a few of you here in the room were listening online, married, had a wedding, right? Received gifts, probably many gifts even sometimes. Gifts that might have been like, what is this? You're like, you're pondering over, what is this? I have no idea, honey. It looks like a spacecraft or something. Is it for cooking? I don't know. I don't think so. But it's from Aunt Edie, so I just can't give it away or re-gift it, and I don't really know if I want to use it. What if she comes over to her house and wonders, where's that gift I gave you, right? But you go ahead and so you, what do? You put this gift that you just received in a very special safe place in your house, like a storage room or under the stairs, still in the box, never really opened. It was a gift from my Aunt Edie. It was gifted to me with a purpose to serve my family or us as a couple somehow. Yet this gift is hidden and unused in my storage closet, and I don't even know what it's for. Which is exactly what many of you and I are doing with the gifts that God has given us. Many of you here in the room listening, you don't even know what they are, right? Where they are or how they're supposed to be even used to function. But yet your Father has given you a gift that continues to be hidden and unused. And Paul says, now, listen, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, Paul continues and says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, right? The same Holy Spirit gives these different kinds of gifts to believers. Verse 5 says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And in verse 7, in the New Living Translation, it says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can, what? Help each other. Notice this, that all Christians receive spiritual gifts. Not just the elite or the super spiritual or just pastors or elders and whatever. And all spiritual gifts are useful. So you don't have any spiritual gifts that are unuseful in your life. Yet, friends, all of hell wants you to keep your gift hidden. Listen to me, friends. The devil and Satan in this world wants you to keep your gifts hidden and stuck in your storage closet, unused. So what? So that the gift your Father has given you is no longer useful to build up the body of Christ. The enemy does not want the body of Christ to win or to be built up and to minister to people in the world and those who are far from Christ, right? So let's expose you and I to a couple of lists of gifts in Scripture. But first, I really think it's important to talk about what spiritual gifts are not, to help us understand what spiritual gifts are. Why? So we can better understand what they are, right? Now, here are 5 things that spiritual gifts are not. So if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write them down. Number 1 is spiritual gifts are not natural talents. So they're not natural talents. Natural talents are different from spiritual gifts. When you're born naturally, God gives you natural talents. You may be naturally gifted to write or to paint or to sing or to dance or naturally good with numbers, maybe, or construction. These are natural talents. When you're spiritually born again, you are then again given spiritual gifts. And these are different than your natural talents. You not only can receive spiritual gifts when you are spiritually born again, but God can continue to give you more spiritual gifts throughout your Jesus followership, your life of following Jesus. And quite often, your spiritual gifts can and will complement your natural skill sets and gifts. God can and will use all of them for his glory. But there's a difference between your natural talents and spiritual gifts. Okay, so number 2, spiritual gifts are not given to the elite few. No, God does not say, okay, I'm going to take this group of Christians that I really, really like and give them powerful gifts, and you are going to be the more powerful Christians than the rest of them. And the rest of you, I don't really like you that much, so you go sit in the corner and you don't get any gifts at all or very few. No, that's not what Jesus says, nor does the scripture inform us of this. Spiritual gifts are not given to an elite few. They are given to all Jesus followers. So their spiritual gifts are not given to the elite few. Number three, spiritual gifts are not signs of spiritual maturity. If you have a certain gift, it does not mean you are more mature than someone who has a different gift. Sadly, you just might witness some of these behaviors in a lot of Christian cultures today. They elevate. Some people will elevate certain gifts to say that if you have the gift of the apostolic or the gift of prophetic, you are spiritually mature. And if you don't, you're kind of a lesser Christian. Oddly enough, the gift of speaking in tongues is quite frequently in this category in many church cultures and among Christians is elevated to be the most important. And some of you have probably heard this question before. Are you spirit-filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues? And I agree. Speaking in tongues is a big deal. But listen to this. And often church cultures where there may be people who don't speak in tongues, they feel like second-class Christians. Second-class. And that's just frankly, friends, not the way of Jesus. When in reality and in scripture, Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues. And so do I, friends. I do. I really do. Thank God. And he also says, but that the gift of speaking in tongues is also called the least of the gifts. Of all the gifts. And yet, interestingly enough, this can be very divisive among Christians. So my point is not one of the gifts is more important than the other. So I believe it's important to point this out, that spiritual gifts are not a sign of spiritual maturity, and not one or the other is better than any other. All right, number four, spiritual gifts are also not the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, I should say. The fruit of the Spirit are different from gifts of the Spirit. If you want to study the fruit of the Spirit, go to Galatians chapter 5. There are 9 of them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Sometimes Christians will say, well, I just don't have the gift of love, so I don't have the spiritual gift of patience, as you can see. No, friends, these are not gifts. These are fruit of the Spirit. And all believers and all followers of Jesus should exhibit all the fruit, not just one or two of them, and evidence. This is the evidence of the Holy Spirit, is the fruit that is being produced in you and through you, the fruit of the Spirit. But all believers do not have all of the gifts of the Spirit. These are two different things. So number five, finally, add this to your notes. Spiritual gifts are not something to be afraid of, not something to fear. All right. They are not something that is odd and creepy. Although, admittedly, sometimes Christians who believe in the spiritual gifts can be a little bit odd and creepy themselves. I'm not trying to be insulting, but just because you see someone who does something you don't understand doesn't mean the spiritual gifts are weird. That person's just being weird. The Bible says that we should desire the spiritual gifts. So just because you see someone maybe with an unusual preacher hair or unusual style or some church where they might say, okay, now it's time that everybody's going to be stand up and we're going to be praying for you and all, we're going to be knocked out by the Holy Spirit and boom, 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 explosion sounds. I mean, I remember I was in a church one time and the speaker was doing gun noises and gun like pew, pointing with the friends and pew, 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 Holy Spirit, pea shooter, gun shooting people at the front, and people would fall down. And you might say, that seems kind of weird. Yeah, you know what? And you know what? I honestly, from my perspective, that is a bit different, right? It's not that God couldn't knock you down if he really wanted to, but just to say that everybody's got to fall down and make some noises and make a demonstration of it, because that is the way we do it at this church or something like that, I'd say it could possibly be for other motivations or even a bit of an emotionalism. Overemphasis of the use of spiritual gifts for the sake of maybe looking cool. I don't know. Maybe, who knows, right? Holy Spirit, though, is not odd and crazy and creepy, friends. Spiritual gifts are gifts given by God for the believer to make a tangible and felt difference in this world, not to creep everyone out and make it weird. I hope that helps you clarify a couple questions about Holy Spirit and the gifts that we receive. That might help maybe have understand what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not, so that we can understand what the Holy Spirit gives and what kind of gifts we get. So let's look at the two dominant portions in scripture that talk about these spiritual gifts. There are 4 different lists, but we're going to look at the 2 dominant ones, and I will tell you what the others are later for your own purpose. What are some of the spiritual gifts? So Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, gives us this first list of spiritual gifts. And here's what the Bible says. In his grace, God has given us, believers, right, differing gifts for doing certain things well. And then he lists these 7 different gifts. He says this, first of all, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Wait a second. What is the gift of prophecy? This is the ability, friends, to speak on the behalf of God. I believe that God has given myself even the spiritual gifts of encouragement and discerning of spirits and prophecy. In fact, some people would even say that what I'm doing right now is prophecy. Proclaiming is declaring on the behalf of God. Others would say it would be more direct, or, you know, it could be like, yet either way, it's speaking boldly what God has put on your heart, prophecy. Now, there have been some significant moments in my life where I've been able to speak a prophetic word to encourage people. Some even strangers I've been in the midst of, people I have never met before, encouraging them in a way that was only by God's Spirit in areas and things that I had no idea were going on in their life. But I felt strongly in my heart to speak specifically about something that I had no prior knowledge of in this person's life. I remember this one time when I was working, completing an inspection of a home. That's what I do as well sometimes. It was requested by this homeowner's insurance company. These people I was going to see, they actually didn't really want me there. They were kind of afraid of me coming. And I knew that if I didn't go, they were about to lose their insurance coverages. So long story short, I made it on site. I smiled and warmly explained briefly what they could expect and why I was there. And as I began to make small conversation, I could sense that there was more to it than just me being there for an inspection. And as the conversation moved forward, I had come to learn that their son was recently killed in a car accident just down the road from their home. And the truck was found in the river and they were unable to recover the body of their son. And like any of us would be, they were devastated. They were heartbroken. They were grieving. And here is this insurance guy, inspector in their house trying to make things even more complicated for them in their minds and their perspective. And I asked them in that moment if I could pray for them. I had no idea if they were believers, if they knew God or Jesus or anything. And I continued to encourage them. They allowed me to pray over them and over their house, speaking words of life and affirmation over their home. And yeah, you know what? I knew that at the moment, I might just get fired for this. Yet I also knew that God had me in this moment, for this time, in this house, for this family to be a gift of encouragement and to prophesy life and hope and healing over their lives. Interestingly enough, the household that just moments before were ready to shut the door in my face, they were now inviting me back and we would like you to come over for dinner and bring your wife. We would love to meet her. See, friends, you never know when you can be the gift that someone else needs when you show up and you're ready in the moment. You're willing to be used by God. I have many similar stories of God moments like this in my life. Friends, you are equipped. You are gifted for such a moment as this. It's a gift from God. Okay, let's look at a second list of gifts. And what I want you to understand is that this second gift is just as spiritual as the gift of prophecy. The Bible goes on to say in verse 7 of Romans 12, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. Some of you have the spiritual gift of serving. I know this. The idea of doing something for someone else, especially when they don't even know about it, it's like the thrill of your life, right? Why is that? Because God has given you the gift of serving. I know at Beloved City Church, we are honored to have a hospitality team that is comprised of people who love serving, cooking and making dinners and making people feel welcome and encouraged in acts of service. I must say, they've been exceptional in serving with excellence. I mean, it's amazing. I've been able to be a beneficiary of this ministry and they love it. It's a gift and they live for this. Why? Because this is a gift that God has given to these people and they live to serve, to live out this gift. This is a spiritual gift, friends. And some of you have the gift of serving. The Bible goes on to say in Romans 12, if you're a teacher, teach well. Some of you have the gift of teaching God's word and you barely begin to read or to learn something in the scripture. And you're like, OMG, I've got to tell somebody. You love the Greek and the Hebrew and all this cross-referencing and you really get into it. And you are to use that gift, friends, to teach God's word. And if you read on, the Bible says, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. God has given some of you, friends, the spiritual gift of encouraging. Man, unleash that thing. Let it fly. Be the best encourager the world has ever seen. Anytime you see someone doing something well, be a blessing to them. Write them an email. Send a text. Write a note in the moment. Stop and compliment them. Encourage. I know that personally for me, when I'm encouraged, when I walk up my day with a different posture, I'm doing what I'm doing today because I was prophesied over. That's what helps me to keep going sometimes and to get up and have the strength and the courage is I was encouraged to follow the gift and the dream that God has planted in my heart. This is an important spiritual gift, the gift of encouragement. The next gift, it says, if your gift is giving, give generously. Some of you have the spiritual gift of giving and you give and you give and a give. And it's like, where is this even coming from? Yet you keep on giving. The Bible goes on to say, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Many of you have the gift to lead, and you're not leading anything in the local church. Your gift is hidden and continues to go unused. Again, the Bible goes on to say, Scripture tells us, if you have the gift to show kindness, do it gladly. This is the gift of mercy or showing kindness. This is a gift, friends, that God has given you through the Holy Spirit to minister to other people. You might say, well, how do I know which gift I have? Well, there are a lot of ways, and we'll talk more about that in just a couple more moments. But first, I want to give you a simple and kind of fun way of knowing which of these gifts you have. Some people might call it the apple pie demonstration. You ready for this? Imagine you were at a table with your friends, with a bunch of other people, and there's someone just about to eat a slice of warm apple pie, and their apple pie is just on the edge of the table, about to fall off, and they're talking or they're distracted, and you can very clearly see they are vulnerable, and yet they go and they put their fork in the slice of apple pie, and voila, no kidding, right? It flops into their lap. What do you do? Well, what do you do next? In this scenario, helps to determine possibly what your gift is. So play with me just for a few moments. How many of you would say, I almost told you that that was about to happen. You shouldn't have done that. I saw it coming. How many of you would do that? If that was you, you might have the gift of prophecy. How many of you, on the other hand, would say, oh man, let me help you clean that up. Here's a napkin. Let me wipe you up, wipe your face. Here, let's get you all taken care of, right? How many of you are like that? You just might have the gift of serving, and this, friends, is a spiritual gift. Some of you might say, oh, I've researched this, and really there is a much better way to eat an apple pie, actually. Step one is you do this, and then step two is you do that. And oh, by the way, did you know you just might have the gift of teaching, friends, as if this is you. Some of you would go, oh, that's so, man, I feel so bad for you. You know what happened to me one time? Don't worry about it. It's okay. Watch this. And you go and throw your own apple pie on yourself to make them feel better. Crazy, right? But that, if that's you, you have the gift of encouragement, right? Or here's one. Maybe you would say, oh, here, take mine. And in fact, bring apple pies for everybody and put some whipped cream on it while you're at it, right? How many of you might respond that way? You have the gift of giving, right? Come on, bring more pies. Those of you who would say, we can get this thing cleaned up in no time. Don't worry. You go and get this and you go get this and you start, you know, telling people, can you get the cloth? Can you get the whatever it is? You've got the gift of leadership. You've got a vision to make this better. And so that's, you possibly have the gift of leadership. There, some of you might say, my heart sinks when it was falling into your lap. I was so hurting for you and with you, and I'm just so devastated. You're going through this right now. And if you're like that, you have the spiritual gift of mercy or showing kindness. These are gifts that God has given. I know it's a funny way to maybe understand gifts, but these gifts are what God has given you, not so much for eating apple pie with your friends, but to be used in the church to minister to other believers and to be used in the world to reach and minister to people who are living without Christ even. And I get it, quite honestly. Many of you don't even know for sure what your gift is, or you do, and your gift is hidden, going unused. We're talking about spiritual gifts, right? And we want to know, how can I use it, and where can I use it? And so let's look at another list of spiritual gifts here that is found in 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. Here's what the Bible says. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. For some of you, people come to you often. Right? Why? Because you give great advice. You give great encouragement. It's almost like you are tapped into this different level of knowledge or wisdom. And this is a gift that God has given you. And you need to use it often. Use it to be available to help others whose lives are falling apart around you. This is a gift that God has given you for His purposes, friends. The Bible goes on to say in verse 9, the same Spirit gives great faith to another, not to everybody, but to some. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing, the gift of faith and the gift of healing. Maybe whenever you hit an obstacle in your life, instead of panicking and freaking out, oh my God, what's going on? I've got to figure this all out. With the gift of faith, you're more like, well, nope, we're going to pray and God's going to remove this obstacle. We will talk to that mountain and cast it into the sea. You've got a gift of faith, right? Also, there's some who have faith for healing, that whenever people are sick, they really pray. It's a gift. And when you look around the world, especially outside of our own country, where there's often limited healthcare and doctors, where one really has to depend on God for the healing of their toothache or whatever it might be, supernatural healing going on all over the world today. And it's a gift from God. But let me just encourage you, friends. if you want to see miracles and healing take place, you got to be praying for people. You only see as many people healed if you're actually praying for people to be healed, right? So step into your gifting and use it. Verse 10 says that the Holy Spirit, he gives one person the power to perform the miracles and another the ability to prophesy. And he gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Some of you could just go, I know there's just something not right here. How will I know it's a gift? It's a gift of discernment. He goes on to say, still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. This is talking about speaking in tongues. While another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Are these gifts for today? Are these real gifts, friends? Speaking in tongues, faith, healing, serving. Is this what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, next week, we're going to tackle those questions and we'll talk more about what it means to live this out in a spirit-filled life. But let's go back to verse 11. The Bible says, it is the one and only Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the Pneuma, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit who distributes, gives these gifts. He alone decides what gift each person should have. So how do you discover your gifts? Well, let me just give you five quick thoughts as we wrap up today. Number one, study what the Bible says about gifts first off. Look at it, study it. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 talk about the fivefold gifts of ministry. 1 Peter 4, read those chapters and study them. All right, so study the scripture. Number two, ask God to show you your gifts. God, what gifts have you given me? Ask him. Watch what he does. And when he starts to ask him, where do you want me to use these gifts? How do you want me to use them to make a real tangible difference in the world? Number three, examine what you enjoy and do well, okay? If you're gifted, you're going to enjoy using your gifts. You're going to do them well. If you say, I never want to help anybody, I hate being called upon to help, you probably don't have the gift of serving, okay? You don't enjoy it. You don't do it well. Ask yourself, what do I enjoy and what do I do well? Number four, take a spiritual gift assessment. I know some of you are like, assessments. It isn't going to be foolproof. I guarantee that. But there are tests and assessments online. In fact, even at Beloved City Church, we actually offer a resource for such. And you can go online on our website and complete a spiritual gift assessment for free. And that could be very helpful to you. I've seen many people who have gone through these assessments and come away with something really valuable, some invaluable insights. So take an assessment. Number five, most importantly, do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Last couple of weeks, I've encouraged you to listen for the Holy Spirit. Don't resist him and don't deny him. Give him access to your daily life. See, whenever you feel like God is calling you to do something, have the faith to step up and do it. Just like whenever I feel like God is giving me a burden to speak on his behalf or to encourage, the more I do that and the more he proves himself faithful in these scenarios, the more confidence I have to work in the gift that is from God. And note this, I don't own this gift, right, friends? It's not my identity. It doesn't make me any better than anybody else. But it is a gift that he has given me. And as I acknowledge the gift, it gives me more confidence to step out in these gifts and to use them to make a tangible difference for his kingdom in this church and in our world. Here's how we say it around here at Beloved City Church. Our gift is not the mission. Our gifts are the doorways to the mission. Serving is not the mission, friends. Serving is the door to the mission. That's what we're doing, the Jesus mission that we're on, helping those who are far from God come close and near to God. They may have a relationship with him as well. Imagine this for a moment. I have two kids and I love my kids very much. And I'm going to select maybe very specific gifts to give each child, Drew and Ariana. And I think, okay, Drew is my oldest. And I believe if I give him this gift, it can make the most difference in our family and in his life and for the world, right? Ariana, here is my specifically chosen gift just for her. This is what I want to give her specifically for her because God is going to use this to make a very big difference. Imagine as a father, if I give these gifts to my children and they simply put them aside and ignore them. They don't think about it and they don't use them and they ignore the gift that their father has given them to make a difference in this world. Can you imagine? This is exactly what Christians around the world are doing today. God has given you gifts and there are many of you. You haven't used your gifts in the church ever, right? The church is incomplete without your gift. The body of Christ, the church is incomplete without you and without your gift. God has given you a gift to use in the local church and to use in the world. And yet so many of you, you've got the gift on the shelf and it continues to be unused. Now, here's what scripture says. And we'll close out with this in 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. I could go on to say, whatever your gift, if it's serving, if it's prophecy, if it's giving, if it's encouraging, if it's mercy, whatever it is, friends, do everything you do, and whatever you do, use it passionately. The Bible continues in 1 Peter and says, then everything that you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. See, too often we want it to bring glory to us, but your gifts are meant to bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Friends, do not insult the giver of the gift by leaving the gift undiscovered and unused. God has given all of you who are believers spiritual gifts to make a difference in His church, in this church, in your household, in your workplace, and throughout the entire world. Get in the game, friends. Get off the bench. Join the team. Walk through the doorway to the mission that Jesus has called you to, and serve with your gifts. Together, we can and will plunder hell and populate heaven. That's what we're here to do. Together, we will grow a thriving and life-giving church that will lead people to flourish in their lives. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you so much for this moment. Online, I ask and I pray that you would reveal to us the gifts that you have given us. God, that you would give us the courage to use those gifts to make a real tangible difference. First, right here in the local church, and then secondly, in the world around us, God. Father, I pray right now for those that don't know their gifts, that I ask, God, that you through your scripture and through your Holy Spirit would prompt and nudge them, and even through experience, that you would show us all the gifts that you have given us, Father. God, I pray that we would talk it over this week in our life groups, in our community groups, and in our families, Lord, that you would give us a burden to know, what are the gifts that you've given us? And I pray that you would give us eyes to see how to use them, and a heart to understand that the gifts that you have given us, Lord, are for your purposes. Then, God, I pray that as we start to discover these areas, these gifts in our lives, that you would give us a burden to use them appropriately. First, in the church that you have given us, God, these gifts to be used in the body of Christ. They're important to you, God. This body is important to you, your church. And God, we acknowledge that our spiritual enemy, the devil, wants to talk us out of using these gifts for your glory that you have given us. God, I pray that you give us a burden and move us from comfort to discomfort in some cases, Lord, to use what you have given us to minister to other believers in the church and to make a difference in the circles of influence that you have planted us in specifically. God, open up doors. Give us eyes to see where our gifts are needed. Jesus, I pray that all believers would be engaged. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to pursue people who have neglected their gifts and who continue not to use their gifts. Pursue them, Jesus, in the church for which you gave your life for. God, use us to make a very real and tangible difference in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. And if any of you are in the room and listening online and you have never made a decision to follow Jesus and you would like to do that today, and would you pray with me like this? Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner and I need a rescuer. Jesus, save me and forgive me. Make me brand new. I believe you died for me and you rose again so that I could live for you. Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me gifts that can be used in the church and in the world. My life is not my own, Jesus. I give it to you fully. Thank you for new life. And now you have mine fully. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Wow. Can you just celebrate that for a few moments? And if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. And if you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow, I'm all in, Jesus, by being baptized as Jesus commanded, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. This is what Jesus says. Let us know. We would love to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about what God has called us to do in this city, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making Jesus famous, making an impact for eternity in our city. Will you take a step to partner with us at Beloved to help us grow the day-to-day ministries here at this church? Join our Big Table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next family discovery night. Discover what it means to be a family member at this local church. Secondly, join the Grow team and help serve. Use your gifts to serve others. Work alongside a team here at Beloved. Let's make an impact together, friends. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully consider worshiping God with your money by giving financially to Beloved City Church? Ask Him, God, how can I give? What's the amount that I can give and help us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city? In Jesus' name, we love you, friends. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal Himself to you and your gifts in you and through you today. In Jesus' name. Bless you.